Welcome to another edition of Black Teachers Matter here at WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston. We are Boston's community radio station. I am your host and producers of Black Teachers Matter, Sharon Eaton Hinton, and we are live here, 102.9 FM. We've got another edition of just amazing, amazing talent and information that you need that you can actually act upon. You can do something about it. There is a wonderful, wonderful hip-hop symposium that's happening this Saturday in Massasoit Community College in Brockton. So for those of you who are in Massachusetts, you can just come on down and check it out. And if you're not, well, then you can't. I have two hosts tonight, but as you see, there is an empty chair there. But that doesn't matter because she is on her way. Not like Christmas, but she's on her way. She's in traffic right now, and I won't introduce her until she gets here. But Dr. Corrine, who is a dean at Massasoit Community College, this is my first time meeting her in person. She's amazingly beautiful. Queen Corrine, who is a dean. See, you know, it's hard not to get into like the rhythm and the rhyme of stuff, especially when you're doing hip hop. Welcome, Dr. Corrine. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here with us this evening. We're waiting for our performer, who I actually know. I knew her before you. We were teachers together, and this is Black Teachers Matter. What can I say about until we get her in there. But we have you in here. And can you tell us, because we were talking before we even went on the air, what you really do, and then we're going to talk about what you do that has to do with Diesel. See, I'm giving this little hook here so people understand. And then we're going to talk about the connection. I looked at your T-shirt when I met you tonight, and so you like representing hardcore. And, of course, that was music, you know, from the man that you're representing on your T-shirt. Tell us who you are. I know. I read the bio. And then we'll talk about what you do at Massasoit Community College and why you do that, because you are a Black teacher. You're an educator. So let us know how you got into, like, who you are and how you got into that. Because Massasoit Community College, I think it's underplayed for all of what it does. And community colleges in Massachusetts right now, if you are 25 years or over, are free. My special price, free 99, which we're not supposed to mention any prices. So we're not really mentioning prices. We're talking about the opportunity to go back to college if you're 25 years or over in Massachusetts. And I can't tell you any more than if you go www, whatever the community college is. But we're talking about Massachusetts Community College, and this is Black Teachers Matter. And that's what we're talking about, education. Queen Corrine.
Yes.
And so tell us who you are and at Massasoit. And then we'll make the jump to the... now, wait a minute. There's an art program. Did that already happen? Is that happening now?
That's tomorrow. Okay, it actually is happening now as far as Open Gallery, but tomorrow evening will be a Meet the Artist reception.
Okay. So let's talk about the fact that this is... you know, I swore I turned that off. Let's talk about the 50th year of hip-hop this year. It's the 50th, it's sort of the 50th year anniversary of hip hop. I say sort of because I've been in the music industry all my life, and it really started out as rap. And then it evolved into hip hop, which actually evolved into a full lifestyle and culture that's global. So can you tell us about the art that's happening now, the gallery, and then the event that's happening tomorrow, and then the event that's happening Saturday at Massasoit Community College, please. But first, you. I want to hear about you first.
Okay. So I am Corrine Sauvignon. I am the executive dean for the Canton campus at Massasoit Community College and the dean of emerging technologies at Massasoit Community College, which is located on the Canton campus. So I've been with the college now for about 17 years, but prior to that, I started my journey through higher ed in Florida. I was at Indian River Community College at the time, now Indian River State College. Mm-hmm. And I trained law enforcement and correction officers within the criminal justice department. So that's how I got into teaching and decided I wanted to move back home and got an opportunity to work at Massasoit Community College and has I've been there ever since.
You know, so like we're glossing over this, but I can't. Like Florida, so you were from here and then you went to Florida and then you're back here. Like you went from, you know, crazy weather and zero weather to like.
To crazier weather, because that's when I got hit with all the hurricanes and I said, this ain't for me.
Oh, seriously? I mean, I don't like being in weather. So I did a lot of recording studios and stuff like that in Florida. And so the thing that struck me is it's warm and it's muggy, and then you get into the water that's warm. So you don't get cooled down like the East Coast. You're just now you're hot and you're wet. Right. And so I get it. I mean, I get what you're saying. And then the flying roaches, which they call palmetto bugs.
Right.
I think those are something out of a horror movie, really.
Mm-hmm. And the geckos and all those sorts of weird animals that we don't see up north.
Well, you know, gators snatching your pet when you're walking and you're jogging. That doesn't seem to be. That's more common than people actually realize, yeah. I think. But let's not talk about the flora and the fauna because we don't care about that. What we care about is how did you become an educator? And also you're actually in a STEM field when you're talking about technology and diesel and engineering and stuff. How did you decide that that's what you wanted to do?
Well, when I started at Massasoit, I was the director for the Gateway to College program, which was our early version of our early college program.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for about 4 years, and then I had the opportunity to transition and advance pretty much to an associate dean level that took me to the Canton campus to
help. No, but go back. Go back even to even thinking that you want to be on a college campus and an educator.
You know.
And an educator of color.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what it meant at the time because, like I said, I actually started off as a probation officer for Suffolk Superior Court, and then that led me into moving to Florida so that I had the opportunity to train law enforcement and correction officers. So the way that it worked in Florida is that these programs were attached to the community colleges, and that got my foot in the door into being in higher ed. So I never really thought about being an instructor or thought about getting into higher ed. I just really wanted to work with people to make things better. You know, I know that sounds cliche, but after coming from probation, I saw what it took to be able to actually think outside of rehabilitation in regards to get a job, go to work, but more into educating people and providing them the tools and techniques to kind of figure out what it is they want to do.
Okay, hold on 2 seconds, because I actually want to shift for a second. We're going to keep talking about that, but I need to bring somebody else in, and so I have to shut off your microphone for a quick second. And if you've just tuned in, you are, oh my God, I'm just excited. I got a superstar friend in the studio that just came in, and when she sets up, we'll introduce her. If you just tuned in, you're listening to WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston. We're Boston's community radio station, and it is Black Teachers Matter here. We are, we have a special edition, but they're all special. They're all special because of the people that we have here. And I'm going to bring back on Dr. Queen Kareen up in here. And the other person that we have, who is my really, 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 you look like, girl, I'm looking at you, you bringing sunshine up in here.
Thank you.
You're bringing sunshine. Jasmine Red, Jazzy Red, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to see you.
Oh, my God. It has been forever, man. You look fabulous.
Thank you. So do you.
So now, thank you, dear. I age backwards. You know black don't crack.
That's right. Group. I know that's right.
You know how
that.
Do. You know how we do.
Uh-huh.
So I know you from, because we taught together at Boston Green Academy, and you was rocking hardcore. You know, I was looking for the videotape, because when you performed and stuff, when I was there.
But
I would have had to convert it, because it was on my phone when I did it, right?
Yep.
But you were rocking hard back then and recording.
Yes.
And so this is Jasmine Red, you all, and she is going to be one of the performing artists at this weekend's Hip Hop Symposium. And I don't know if I'll be there because there's the memorial for Sarah Ann Shaw at the same weekend. And Sarah Ann Shaw actually broke ground. She was the first Black reporter at Westinghouse at WBZ television. Wow. And so her memorial is going to be that morning. And the Hip Hop Symposium is Saturday from, is it 11 o'clock until 5 o'clock?
It's 10 to 5.
Oh, it's even, well, yeah, same bat time, same bat channel. I don't know if I'll be able to do. I'm so excited. You look amazing. You got this 1,000-watt smile, man.
Thank you. So last you better cut it out.
Well, I got rid of some of my friends last year.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in the X-Files. They had to go.
Hey, but, it'd be like that. Sometimes you got to do it.
A season is a reason and a season for everybody. That sometimes part. You got to go, got to go. Thank you, Tommy, the assistant manager of WBCA, who helped bring you in here. So lovely, in such a lovely way. I'm so excited. You know what? I'm looking at this Black woman magic because y'all ain't girls up in here. And so my question to you before we get back into talking about how Dr. Kareen got into being a teacher from inside the walls, because you were a CO. You were CO. I mean, you were CO for real, for real.
And probation officer.
Well, you were the,
outside the wall.
Yeah,
in the street.
Sort of.
In the street.
I mean, CO, I like PO. It was the I'm talking about the population that you're dealing with who sometimes don't ever really get released from being locked up. But anyway, so we're going to go back to you. But so I'm introducing you again. We have both of our guests in the studio, Jasmine Red, Jazzy Jazz, what up, what up, what up, and Dr. Kareen. We are here with the Queens. Did you make your first million already, Jazzy?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
Girl.
I'm getting there.
Everybody was locked up during the pandemic. You should have rocked on that. They couldn't go nowhere.
I know. That's true. My album came out. My last album came out during the pandemic, and that's what... That got me moving in the right direction. I've done a couple things since then, for sure. But
I hope so.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm sure you did a lot because you were doing a lot when you and I were teaching together. Mm-hmm. And that's another whole story.
Yep.
And this is Black Teachers Matter, the radio podcast on WBCA 102.9 FM. You didn't know this side of me. I mean, you heard about this side of me, but you didn't see this side of me.
No, I didn't.
Because we were teachers.
Yeah.
And I had to be all Negro peeing and stuff. I had to be all low-key.
I know.
I had to be. See, y'all are laughing, but you can relate. That's why you laughing.
Uh-huh.
And and plus we had teenagers, right? If they knew this side of me, I'd have had to knock somebody out.
Yeah.
For real.
I know it. When I first showed our students, like when I first got into that school and I showed them a song, I will never forget, like somebody Shazammed it. Mm. I didn't want them to find me, but I like wanted them to know that I was a rapper, you know what I'm saying, so I could get some cool points.
Mm.
And I played Positive Vibes Only, and my student Frankie, shout out to Frankie, miss him, love him. He was like, Positive Vibes Only, Jasmine Red, I got you. I said, oh, Lord, here we go.
God.
But they kept me in check, though. They kept me on point and saying the right things and doing the right things, you know, so it was all right. But,
yeah. So doctor, let's get back to you. We were talking about how you were in Florida. And then you transitioned from Florida with all the, you know, the gators and the creatures and the flying palmetto bugs back up to Boston. But you were in the correctional system. And then how did you transition to Massasoit? I mean, you transitioned. So we're only going to be here for an hour. And Jazzy knows me, man. I could talk a dog off a meat wagon. So an hour is not going to be enough. So I'm going to have to get you guys back here. And I wish I had a camera crew that I could bring out so that we could show more of this. And this will actually be available. This show will be available not only on Comcast, because this will be cablecast, but it'll also be available on Podbean and Spotify and all these other platforms that I don't really remember. But right now we're live on WBCA LP 102.9 FM and on www.bnnmedia.org. We here, up in here. And so tell me about, again, because I want to make this transition between you being an educator. Well, you are educating people to be able to transition back to from behind the wall to back out in the street. And then now you're educating at Massasoit Community College in STEM in another way. So how did that work?
You know, it bridged itself together, really, because a lot of the population that I work with are those trying to get back into the workforce. So the programs that I oversee help do that. So with our diesel program, it is the only program in the state. I want to shout that out. I have amazing faculty who run that program. Using that as kind of the catchment to entice folks into the field, just because, again, there are a lot of job opportunities out there, working with populations, again, through the Mass Hire boards and people who just want to change a career. So I continue to deal a lot with the adult population and helping them identify those pathways. So that actually led me to wanting to continue to stay in the teaching field. So right now I teach criminal justice courses, some juvenile justice courses, just to keep my feet wet in the field. But my main focus is creating. So I create curriculum just, again, to address some of those workforce gaps that we're starting to see. Mm-hmm. And using the programs and emerging technologies have just helped to make that transition between the college and the workforce and the community. So kind of coupling all that has led me into doing other things that, with my right hand, girl right here now, she's That's in right. my back pocket. just kind of getting creative with, you know, sharing the same vision of working with the community and trying to build pathways in every capacity to get them to want to change their direction in life.
And Jasmine, I knew you and we were teaching high school. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you made the transition. Like, you haven't really made a transition from music, because I've always known you in music.
Yeah.
But I met you in the educational space.
Yep.
But even then, it was still music. So you're still consistent in terms of that. And we're going to go back to the symposium in the art event that's happening now, and actually the art event that's happening tomorrow mm-hmm. afternoon, that people can come down to the college campus if they want to and actually involve themselves. And it's all ages. There's no all ages. Everybody can go up in there. Mm-hmm. And it's in Brockton, and there's buses there and transportation. If you don't have a car, you can still get there, and there's time enough to get there. But I want to talk about your transition. You've always been an educator, and you've always had this tap and this energy to young people. And hip hop, for those of us that have been around for a while, it started out as rap. And in our spirits, we're still kind of young, but it is definitely, hip hop is more affiliated. I mean, you look at Snoop Dogg, and he's got serious gray hairs and those red. I think he said he's going to stop smoking weed. I don't believe it. But so, you know, and you look at some of the rappers, I mean, honestly, some people didn't make it. I mean, they got cut down. Mm-hmm. You know, Tupac was 25. Mm-hmm. And I actually met him. That boy was fine, but he looked like trouble. But I met him in D.C. at a music conference. And the two thug-like brothers with the open shirts, with the tats, with the, you know, gallon bottle of Tanqueray. So it was like, he's winking at me and he's Cupid. Nah.
Nah. He looked like trouble.
Well, I mean, he was fine. I mean, he had this beautiful, you know, electric smile and these beautiful eyelashes, these beautiful eyes. I mean, I was just like, dag, I want to go over there and talk to him. We would like write the table right next to there. But the brothers that was next to him, they looked like trouble. And also, as you know, when you're in the business, you're doing business. You're like, I'm not having a fan moment. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yo, I'm up here and I'm marketing. I had five groups that were signed to me. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get my group signed. Mm-hmm. And so it was all about business. It was like, and he wasn't all Tupac at the time. You know, it was like, yo, man, you in here like me. You trying to make a dollar. What's up, bro? You could look kind of like you hustling like me. You ain't really got no money. And I actually met Sean. Well, he was Sean Combs. He wasn't P. Diddy or Diddy a Puff or anything like that. But I was trying to get next to Andre Harrell. Mm-hmm. Because Andre had the record company mm-hmm. and Andre had New York Undercover. And I wanted one of my singing groups to be in New York Undercover. But, you know, when you talk about dodging a bullet, mm-hmm. like a bazooka shell, mm-hmm. I met Andre Harrell. And Sean was right there. And he was like, yeah, that's my right-hand man. It's my boy. You know, hook up Sean right there. And I just had this creepy feeling. He was He was just he just looked like a greasy cockroach, man. He just looked like somebody I didn't want to deal with. I'm serious. And I looked at him and I was like, nah, that ain't gonna happen. If I got to go through him, and now all this stuff is coming out about him, which is still part of the culture, you know, of the music business, period, whether it's hip hop or not. And so as a woman, and it's still very male dominated, let's face it, right? Even though you've had the MC Lights and all these other women that have come through, it's still a male-dominated business. So tell me what it's like being an artist in hip-hop, being as beautiful. And I know you've gone through some stuff because I know this business. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily want to hear the horror stories.
Yeah.
But tell me what it's like getting in this business and staying in this business and then your performance on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one thing that I always try to tell young, like, aspiring artists, whatever their background is, whether, you know, whatever kind of music that they're creating, whoever they are, is to just stay true to who you are. And I think that this industry can sometimes make you feel like you should or you're supposed to be something else. And I think we all go through those moments, right? Like, especially when you're not somebody who creates what is considered to be, like, popular at the time, right? And that's one thing that, like, I've always been just really steadfast in. And, like, I've had my moments where I'm like, oh, like, you know, this is what people are listening to. They don't want to hear, you know, this conscious rap, but they don't want to hear, you know, rap about positivity or, like, you know, all the things that, like, really we need to feed our souls, right? And and what we need to consume to just feel good on the inside. But at the end of the day, you know, that's who I am, and that's what I want to create, and my people are going to gravitate towards me. So, you know, that's something that I've always really tried to hold strong to, is, like, I don't have to do what every other MC is doing. I don't have to do what every other female MC is doing. I don't have to talk about those things. Like, I can stay true to myself, and I know that there are people, if there's a me, that means that there's more people out there like me, and they will find me. I just have to keep making the thing, you know? And so that's really how I've navigated through all of this, when folks are like, you know, oh, you're so pretty. Like, why you talk like that? Like, when I get to cussing, it's like, because I talk like that, because I be cussing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know,
you know, like, oh, you know, always talking about, like, women empowerment or, like, these things. And it's like, yeah, like, because I mean it. Like, I mean it. And it's true to me, and it's part of, you know, what my life is, and I put my life in every piece of music that I create. So, you know, it definitely, being that authentic, I think, helps to stay true to yourself. It's also scary, and so I can understand why people tend to, like, shy away from that and maybe want to be something else. But, you know, your folks will always find you. You just got to make that commitment to yourself and know that, like, we want you. Like, we want what makes you an individual. Like, that's what people are looking for, you know? And so that's really what's helped me navigate any instance that I've come up against in this industry, whether it be, you know, why you talk like this, or how come you don't dress more like this, or how come you don't do, you know, like they doing, because they not me and I'm not them, and I'm going to keep doing what I want to do.
But, you know, there is pressure, and, I haven't performed in a long time, but I remember, and it's still there. There was way more pressure for women, and there was way more judgment. There still is for women, especially if you are in the business, and there's always a critic, even more so than the men. The men get away with stuff that's just like, come on, bruh. And the women, it's like, well, why are you wearing those earrings with those shoes? And I would have never done that. Why are you going talking? And you're looking at them like, for real? Like, this is what we go in here? And then there's also this pressure, there's this underbelly to the business that's about the business, where you really have to be about the business. I remember being in D.C., and there was a music symposium, and the forum was women in the business, and Phyllis Hyman and Melba Moore and were on the panel. And Phyllis Hyman said, you know, I know my designer, I know my hairstylist, I know all that, but when it came to the money, I wasn't paying attention, and I went broke. I mean, people stole my money. How are you handling that part of it? Because I know you're on point. So how did you handle and set up and know about that part of it?
Yeah. So as of right now, I am very much a one woman show. So I am my booking agent. I am my artist. I am my artist development. I am my, you know, I'm everything. I'm my manager. Like, I do everything myself. So when you see anything that Jasmine Red does, know that it's me who's doing it, you know? Even, you know, I own a business through my name, through Jasmine Red, where I do consulting and I do event planning and I do hip-hop workshops and diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging workshops. Like, I do all of these things, right? I have a really dope accountant who has known me since I was real young, you know, and has worked with me for a long time. But even then, like, I handle the money that comes in and I handle the money that goes out, you know? So I keep, and once things start to expand, which they've expanded really far this year, but by next year that might get a little different for me, which is great, which is a blessing, but it's definitely something that, I have put trust in people in this industry and they have done the wrong thing. So luckily I'm a dynamic person who has and can learn fast. And likes to manage my own stuff, so I can minimize some of that. But, you know, relationship building is really real. Staying on top of people is really real. Like, having some level of checks and balances with the folks that you work with. And, like, you know, you can trust people and you should trust people. But also, like, being mindful of when you're circle starts to get too big of too many people who are touching you or have the ability to touch what is yours.
And take
making
it.
Sure, yeah, making sure that you are really paying attention to that and never just settling into it. But I feel like in life, I've come across enough people who have done the wrong thing that I'm sensitive to stuff like that. So I pay extra attention, you know, like,
yeah. So, if you've just tuned in, you tuned in WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston. We're Boston's community radio station. This is another edition of Black Teachers Matter. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of Hip Hop Symposium, historic celebration of hip hop culture at the Bay State chapter of NCBAA's 50th anniversary, Saturday, April 27th from 10 until 5 at Massasoit Community College on the Brockton campus. If you want more information, massasoit.edu/hip.hop, massasoit.edu/HIP-OP, and the event schedule is that Saturday. There's a check-in at 9. Welcome by one of our guests tonight, Dr. Corinne Sauvignon. Did I say that right? Sauvignon.
Very good.
Hey, Massachusetts Community College, 10:30 to 11:45. There's a first panel discussion, The Origination of Hip-Hop, moderated by the other guest here, Jasmine Red. Seating is limited. 12 to 1:15 p.m., the second panel discussion, Hip Hop and Beyond, moderated by another friend of mine who's not here. She couldn't be here tonight because she's a student, Courtney Boston. Seating is limited. 1:30 p.m., Community Block Party with DJ Dex and DJ Bella B. Is it Bella B or Bella Bay?
Bella B, yep.
Bella B. And then 4 p.m., Pass the Mic Cypher with, is it Giles, C4, Jasmine Red, and special guest, Edo G. Oh, God, you're talking about old school, Edo G. Edo G, woof. So that's what's happening, the 50th anniversary of Hip Hop Symposium this Saturday. And then what is going on today and tomorrow, Dr. Sauvignon?
So we started with the prequel to Saturday's event. So this is the Breaking the Mold, a hip hop art show. So that event is taking place at our Canton campus in the Achillean Gallery. So we have exhibitors that include Zahira Truth, Jay Picks, Cheryl Miller, and Jay Mack. And they're displaying some of their art. That event will be DJed as well by DJ Dex. Shout out to DJ Dex. And that's just an event to help kind of bring attention to the campus and the opportunity for local artists to use space to exhibit their work. So we wanted to piggyback off of the Hip Hop Symposium and have the theme reflect hip hop art at its finest through photography, through graffiti artwork, and through drawings as well. So that event is currently taking place now with the open gallery from 10 to 2. And then tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. we'll have a Meet the Artists where, again, DJ Dex will be on for us, providing the music. We'll have some snacks. Folks will be able to come out and interact with the artists and see some of the live work there.
Awesome. And so we have, if you've just tuned in, again, I got to tell you, this is Black Teachers Matter here, WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston. I'm your host and producer, Sharon Eaton Hinton. We're talking about the Massasoit Community College 50th Anniversary of Hip Hop Symposium, a family-friendly celebration, live performances, workshops, panel discussions, and more. And you can come down for the historic celebration of the hip-hop culture Saturday, April 27th, 10 until 5 p.m. at Massasoit Community College, Brockton campus. More information at ncbaa-baystatemass.org. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back with more information to build a nation. My name is Sharon Eaton Hinton, and this is Black Teachers Matter.
Psychologist, social worker, drug expert, sex counselor, substitute parent, and friend. Now, those are some of the things teachers have to be before they even get down to teaching. Now, the more you know what it takes to be a teacher these days, the more you realize that it's one of the toughest, most important jobs in the world. So what can you do to thank your teacher? It's simple. Learn.
This newspaper's got good news and bad news. The good news is that it's loaded with jobs for accountants and lawyers and nurses and carpenters and every other kind of skilled worker. The bad news is that there isn't a single ad for a school dropout, at least nothing you'd want. The more you know how tough things are for school dropouts, the more you'll see you have no choice. You have to stay in school. Think about it.
I can't believe that some of you guys still think it's cool to drink and drive. Well, read my lips. Anybody that's going to drive me home has got to be in condition to get me there in one piece. The more you know how I feel about drinking and driving, the more you know that if you drink and drive, I'm not going anywhere with you. But if you happen to be the designated driver, well, you can take me home anytime.
Back in the fifth grade, I had a favorite school pastime. Teacher torture. Poor Mrs. Sheldon Fry. I left fake vomit on her desk, set off stink bombs at lunch, painted the class hamster light blue, and the thing was, I liked Mrs. Sheldon Fry, and she liked me. And I learned a lot that year. So, to all the teachers who helped kids learn in spite of themselves, thanks. And to Mrs. Sheldon Fry, did you ever find those dead frog parts?
Some guys will try to tell you that hanging out on the street and messing with guns gets you respect. Well, they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Because sooner or later, you're going to kill someone. And you're going to do time for it. Or someone's going to blow you away because they know you're on. Don't kid yourself, man. You know what happens to guys who carry guns. Wise up. It's your life we're talking about. Don't let a gun kill your future.
And welcome back. You're tuned in to WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston, or Boston's community radio station. I'm your host and producer, Sharon Eaton Hinton. Back in the day, they called me Shasha. That's what my name was, and I made a lot of money on a lot of different radio stations, WILD, WRBB, WCAS, WBZ, W Boston Praise Radio. I mean, I did my thing in radio and in television, but now we're doing our thing here at WBCA 102.9 FM. We're live FM, Boston's community radio station, Black Teachers Matter. My guests, Dr. Karine Sauvignon and Jasmine Red, talking about the Massasoit Breaking the Mold, a hip hop art show that's happening, celebrating the intersection of hip hop and art. Tomorrow evening, Night of Music, Amazing Art, April 24th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Achillean Gallery, Massasoit Canton Campus, 900 Randolph Street. If you don't have anything to do, you can come down if you wanna. Welcome back, my guest, Dr. Sauvignon. she's just so bad, man. I just love looking at this black, you know, beauty, man. I love beauty and power, man. Queens elevate queens. And then Jasmine Redd has always been a queen. Like, you have this, both of you, I just love it, man. You know, I'm leaving this place energized. Y'all are adding life to my life, I swear. I mean, you look amazing. And we're talking about this hip-hop symposium on Saturday. You're going to be performing. I wish, you know, I'm going to try to make it. I really am. Although there's limited, you know, seating and stuff like that. I got to see my girl perform. Jasmine, man, I mean, it's just like, I've already seen you perform.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how hardcore those young people were, man. But you had them up in their seats.
Yeah.
And they was like, positive vibes only. I remember that. I remember that. And you had the stick, you had the T-shirts and the whole thing. Like, you was rolling hard back then. And that was pre-pandemic, man. Pre-pandemic, you was rolling hard.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them kids, well, at that particular school, you know, there were some young people that you and I both had that vibe, like, don't even play it. Don't even play yourself. Like, mm-hmm. don't even. But we never really had to go there because they knew who to mess with.
Yeah, for sure. That's one thing for sure with students. They always used to tell me, Miss, your kids ain't never going to get away with nothing. I said, they sure ain't because I got practice with y'all. Y'all ain't getting away with nothing either.
But they never really wanted to. I mean, I think that they were waiting. Like, the times when you had to do gigs or whatever, And you weren't there, and we were covering each other.
Yep.
They would ask, you know, me for you, and then ask you for me.
Yep.
And they knew it was just like, okay, these two sisters up in here, they're not playing, and they're rolling hard. Like, they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't really even know how much I've been in the music business and stuff, because I was just doing, you know, the teacher thing, and I was just doing the Mrs. Hinton, and, you know, and so they didn't need to know that, because that comes with other kinds of questions. But what I want to know about the two of you is, how is this really, what do you want to have happen, the goal of this symposium, the art gallery? I mean, we're talking about exposing artists to and actually commemorating 50 years of a culture. A culture-changing thing. I've watched Bollywood movies, and they're doing hip-hop, and they're doing moves by Michael Jackson, and even Prince was trying to do rap and hip-hop at some point, because that movement was unstoppable. So, Jazzy, I want to talk about the transition between, because you talked about conscious rap,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, fight the power and F the police. And, mm-hmm. you know, there were government officials that were trying to lock people up, and they did lock some people up.
Yep.
Tupac talked about, you know, he didn't have a record or anything until he put out a record. And all of a mm-hmm. sudden he's getting bashed in the head and stuff. So talk about that transition and what's going to be commemorated or what's being acknowledged through the history of hip hop.
Yeah, for sure. So this event, I think, like, what I feel like is going to happen, what I feel like we're going to see, because this is the sort of love and community that's been put into this event, is really almost like something that feel like a family reunion, you know, with that celebration of everything that hip hop culture is, right? Because hip hop is not one dimensional. A lot of the time folks think hip hop and, like, you solely think rap. Like,
right.
I believe it's KRS-One says, you know, rap is something you do, but hip hop is something you are, right?
What? Go back.
Rap is something you do.
One more time.
But hip hop is something you are. It's something you live, right? And this is actually what I teach in my workshops. When we talk about hip hop culture, we talk about the fact that, like, hip hop has all the cultural markers that any other culture has, right? We have clothing, we have artwork, we have food, we have language, we have social norms, we have, you know, ways that we acknowledge each other. We have
rhythm,
customs. We got rhythm.
Food.
We have
food.
Exactly. Like, we got music. We have dance. Like, all of these things, when I ask you what a culture is, these are the things you bring up, right? Like, all this sort of
hair,
dance, this sort of
hair
artwork.
Was in there too.
Exact fashion, right?
Yep, fashion.
And I think that, you know, this symposium is going to touch on so many things, because it's going to focus on that globalization of hip hop, right? And talking about how hip hop went from its, like, humble beginnings in the Bronx to, like, global phenomenon, right? Mm-hmm. Like, 2024, breakdancing's in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if an MC says these are the type of sneakers you wear, these are the type of sneakers people wear. Like, we conduct what mm-hmm. happens globally.
It's going to cost you, too.
You know? Yeah. it's going to cost you pretty well.
Stop playing, right?
But, yeah, so, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of just the celebration of everything that creates this culture and the people who have created this culture, and specifically, you know, to have it be in Brockton. Brockton has such a rich culture of hip hop, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have so many dope artists and we have so many folks who are involved in the culture, and there's not always opportunities to celebrate the culture in this way. And so I'm really excited to like be part of this symposium in particular, where we're having these conversations, mm-hmm. we're having these cultural celebrations. We have some really dope folks who like do actively create a hip hop scene in Brockton, like the Sound Lab, shout out to them. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, this symposium is really gonna bring so many different folks together. Hopefully folks who ain't seen each other in a long time. Like, it's gonna be outside, it's gonna be nice out. I checked the weather. The weather looked nice. It looked like it's gonna be 66 and a little cloudy, you know what I'm saying?
So we rocking. Just a little cloudy.
We rocking. But yeah, I'm just, you know, big family vibes. That's what I'm excited for.
So I posted this. Thank you. A shout out again to Dr. Karine Sauvignon. She sent me these flyers, and immediately I posted them on my social media. And so some of my people tagged in. Cindy Diggs is going to be there.
Yep.
Cindy's my Diggs girl, man. She's like, her. Cindy's going to be there. And another friend of mine, Rusty Pendleton, yep. Rusty the Toe Jammer. I'm gonna date myself now.
Yeah.
So I was at WRBB, the first woman, period, that was the e-board, the first general manager, first program director, first new director. And he and Skeeter were part of the Young Bloods that we were bringing up behind us. And so Rusty, at that time, I was the only female that was gigging, that was in the record pool, New England DJ Association, and I was DJing mobile, and I was DJing in the clubs and getting paid, and I was DJing with the brothers. I was the only one who was with the brothers, and my arms are still big from carrying those bass cabs and those crates of records, right? And Rusty, we were looking for people that could keep, and Wallace T was the one that was bringing, you know, rap and everything, but we had people, because we had students in Northeastern from all over the place, so they would come from D.C. and Philly and New York, and so the scratching and the mixing and the b-boy popular stuff was happening in Boston because it was happening there,
mm-hmm.
and it was happening at the radio station, so we started doing the radio station, and we started being persecuted because the radio station was really black, and the campus wasn't, and so the cops, you know, shout out to NUPD, would meet us. It was our equipment and our stuff, but they wanted to arrest us for our stuff. It's like, yo, that's my name. You know, Northeastern mm-hmm. doesn't have this. Like, we're making more money. And then we also formed a syndicate amongst us. We're students where we would go up to the clubs, find out the worst night, the deadest night, and then put our money together and buy out the night and take the door and let the club have the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd bring all the music there. And because we were on the radio, we pumped it. And we had all the music in the 12 inches, so we're scratching and mixing and phasing, and I'm the best looking one of them and the only female.
Okay.
So I'm getting paid, and we were getting paid bank.
Yeah.
But then it also brought another element to, you know, the business aspect of it. Club owners don't want to pay you. Then other DJs want to come in and undercut you. You know, I could do better than that. We ain't doing better than that. But it was the camaraderie that we had at WRBB. We were the baddest radio station happening, mm-hmm. popping. When I was at Touch FM, shout out to Charles Clemens, he said he wanted that vibe at Touch FM, that camaraderie. We had each other's back. And and Wendy Williams, if it wasn't for us, she wouldn't have been there because
mm-hmm.
we brought her up through there.
Mm.
And I watched her documentary. It's like, okay, so when you going to give us a shout out? Forget all the Wendy Williams show. You would not have happened, and you would not have made it to WBLS and all these New York stations if it wasn't for us. Like New Edition, we played New Edition for a year. I hated Candy Girl, you know, so that Kiss 108 could pick it up. And that was one of our boys, Sonny Joe White.
Mm-hmm.
So we all knew each other, and there's a close camaraderie from then to now.
Yeah.
We had a black film crew at the first Earth Day,
mm-hmm.
and we interviewed KRS-One, and he made MTV wait until, because we were the only black crew. And he was going so hard on environmental racism and everything. I was like, MTV ain't going to want to interview, man. You coming kind of hardcore. So talk about the impact. I mean, we talked about the culture impact, but there was a political message. Is that still in hip hop today? Because it was transformative. I mean, there were people literally that were using the music when they were doing demonstrations, fight the power.
Yeah.
Where is it today?
I think so. Like, I think that there is still political messages within music. I think that, you know, the commercialization of hip hop, like the industry itself does a really good job at trying to like filter that out and put in what's popular and what's hype, like on the radio or push that in front of you. But, you know, we still have artists, like we still have, you know, Meek Mill, we still have J. Cole, we still have Kendrick, like we still have these artists who, whether they're on independent labels, their own labels, or whether they're, you know, just still able to make this type of music, like it does still exist. I just don't think it's always the first thing that's put in front of us. But that doesn't mean that it's not there. I make political music 24/7. Like, you ever put on a Jasmine Red track, that's what we talking about. And I'm teaching there too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love how KRS-One calls himself the teacher, right? Because I take my influence from artists like that, from the Tupacs, from the KRSs, from the Queen Latifahs, right? We're going to talk about something while I got you for this 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right.
And I still think that there are plenty of artists, like even Rapsody is another one for female MCs, you know, like she is speaking on these topics too. And some other, you know, more mainstream artists do it in their own way. Like Glorilla just put out a track that's all like, it's all affirmations, right? Meg Thee Stallion be putting out her little pieces here and there, like within songs to bring notoriety to like women empowerment, especially with everything that she's gone through. You know?
I was going to say, but she got shot too, but she actually won the court case.
Yeah. And like she's had a couple of songs, like I know she got some songs where she talks about mental health and she talks about some, you know, some other topics, but those aren't the things that are put in front of us first, right? But even at the same time, like, you know, when your mama tell you to eat something, the best thing for you is your broccoli on your plate, but she wants your mashed potatoes or you want your, you know what I'm saying, whatever else first, and that's cool, but you got to eat that too, you know what I'm saying, so that your diet is balanced. And I think that we just need to focus on, as individuals, we can seek that music out and we can find it because it does exist. So how are we balancing our diet of what we consume, you know, when it comes to music, when it comes to film, when it comes to social media, all that.
So, but also, let's talk about, you know, and it's all through media when it comes to females, when it comes to women. And Taraji P. Henson, God bless her, said the math ain't mathin'. And this business, is the math mathin' yet for women's ciphers?
I don't know, because I know that, like, I don't really know what some of our higher industry, you know, female artists are getting paid at this rate. I can imagine that Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion are blowing everybody out the water when it comes to a paycheck at this point. But I'm not too up on, like, what that's looking like. My guess is, knowing that women, particularly black women, get a fraction of the change on the dollar for men in any industry,
right,
there's probably still some discrepancy there for sure. And that's why, you know, like somebody like me, people I come off assertive, right? And I come off about my business and
strong.
I'm very much unfazed.
A little strong.
By a lot of stuff. A little strong.
But you gotta be. No, you can't be weak. I'm sorry.
And one of the best pieces of advice, like I heard on a rap record, was set your price and live your life. Jay-Z said that. Set your price and live your life. And that's what I do. Like, hey, this is what it costs if you want me.
Girl.
And that's who I can speak to. This is what it costs if you want me. I don't know what to tell you. We'll figure it out. I will adjust to your budget as according as I can, you know, reasonably. But there's a resume that is backed up by that price, and everybody's resume should reflect what their cost is in this industry, you know?
Well, the brand labels never go on sale, and you just got to bring your price up. I'm just saying. Dr. Karine Sauvignon, I know that there's also another event, Lift Every Voice, Massasoit Community College, and the Bay State chapter of NCBAA are inviting people to the second Black Graduating Student Recognition Ceremony. That's for Black students, African-American, Afro-Latina, Afro-Latinx, African, and Caribbean graduating class of 2024, May 16th. It's 6 to 7:30, and that's at the Massasoit Community College Large Theater, 1 Massasoit Boulevard, in the Brockton campus. Let's talk about, I mean, you look young, and you are, but
<That part.
laughs> in the last 4 minutes that we have here, what drew you to this? Because you're really the progenitor, right? You're really the producer of this event. What made you think that this was so important?
You know, we at Massasoit Community College, we are a minority majority. So we have about 56% students of color and about 33% students who identify as Black. Yeah.
Wow.
So in speaking to that need and recognizing that need, I developed a Black Studies degree program. So it's the first Black Studies degree program in the state at a community college level. And so we've been...
Wait. So there's RCC, but you guys are the first one? Seriously?
Yeah. So RCC, shout out to them. They're the first predominantly Black institution at the community college level. Huh. And we at Massasoit have the first Black Studies degree in the state at the community
college. If I had an applause track, I'd run it right there.
yeah, definitely, wow. Definitely.
Shout out for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal, you know, identifying your student population and recognizing that. So being at Massasoit and calling that to their attention, the administration was very embraceful with creating opportunities for Black spaces, creating curriculum to align with our student population. So everything kind of generated from that, with wanting to celebrate the Black graduating students. Students have a kente cloth ceremony that we have, and that's what's on the 16th. This will be our second year doing it for the students. Very appreciative of the opportunity to be acknowledged. They, again, walk at the full commencement, and our commencement is the following week on the 23rd.
Nice.
But we've been trying to get the students to recognize and to embrace their experiences, learning about their experiences and being part of a culture and a movement. So wanting to speak to that generation, not as young as I look, but I'll take that.
Right.
And trying to speak the language of the youth. Music has always been kind of that definition as to where they can make those connections. So knowing that this was the year recognized celebrating the 50th anniversary, we linked the two together so that we could promote the program, promote the events that we do to help embrace the student culture at the institution and invite community culture into the institution, because Brockton doesn't see Massasoit too much as part of the fabric of the community. So we want to be able to embrace that as an institution and put ourselves out there. So I want to shout out the city of Brockton, the mayor's office, who's also part of this planning movement and helping us bring this forward. So again, it's a community, college, city event that we're going to help identify each population in those subsets to be able to make that connection and connect the dots to education and community and culture. Again, Brockton itself is a majority-minority city. We are seeing a lot of migration into the city, folks from Boston moving into Brockton, a lot of international new cultures moving into the city. So want to show our support of that and engage those populations into the educational system.
Excellent. And last few 30 seconds, Jasmine, shouting out to your peeps to come on out. And I thank both of you guys for being here. One last word on a hip hop tip about coming out on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, if you,
got
you know,
20 seconds for if, real.
If you're looking to hear dope music, participate in some dance, some graffiti, some, you know, listen to some really fire MCs from the area and just get a good, you know, community feel, like, that's the place to be on Saturday. It's all ages, and we can't wait to see y'all.
And thank you for being here, Dr. Karine Sauvignon, Jasmine Red. You've been listening to WBCA LP 102.9 FM, Boston, Black Teachers Matter.